All right, we're talking about empowered through praying in tongues. And there are some phenomenal things that take place when we pray in tongues, and I want to touch on some of those things tonight. And what I want to do with this message is encourage you. I want to reach to the very core of your being, if I can, by the help of the Holy Spirit. It's Him doing the reaching. I don't have the ability to literally do that. But He does through words that are anointed and spoken from His Word. And I want to reach you and inspire you to pray in the Spirit more. And so we're looking tonight in Jude chapter 1. Actually, there's only one chapter, but to be theologically correct, I'm trying to do that. Jude chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. And I think we've looked at these verses one other time. It's been a long time ago. But I want to look at some specific things tonight. Jude says, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit," or the Holy Spirit here. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, just to highlight this passage before we actually get to the core of what I want to share with you tonight, he talks about mockers in the last days. And the mockers mentioned here are those who walk according to their own ungodly lust, the Scripture said, who walk according to the ways of the world, or who walk according to the law or religion. And we're really going to open that aspect up on Sunday morning. Or we could say those who walk and live according to their own self-effort. You know, there is times we find ourselves, and I believe we're getting better at it, people that depend on their own self-effort. Great confidence on our own ability. But we have learned in this house that we ought to be confident in the performance and the effort of the Lord Jesus Christ and put ours aside. And so he says in verse 19 that these specifically are sensual people, people who are moved by their own senses, moved by the natural world. And he said those kinds of people cause division because they don't have the Spirit, not having the Spirit. The Spirit, the word Spirit here is the Greek word pneuma. It means the breath of God, or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, a holy life, who are not led by the Spirit, and that should be capital S, even though it wasn't in your Strong's, are not spiritual or spiritually minded. And so they don't mind the things of the Spirit. So how can believers today be strengthened to a place of avoiding or handling those who mock you for your faith or for your beliefs? Have you ever been criticized? Maybe that was family, a relative, maybe at a family reunion or whatever the case may be, and people say, you know, you ought to not believe God so much. You ought to not try to learn so much Bible. You know, you really ought to not pray so much. You know, you could do other things besides read your Bible all day long. You ever heard some of those things before? You know, you could use your time better. I can't think of a better way to spend my time than that sort of thing. Secondarily to that, a good way to spend my time is with my wife and with family and with you all here at church. But Jesus is numero uno, number one. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so our relationships, priorities, he ought to be in there in first place. And so the way we are strengthened, note this, that most of this stuff that comes directly from the enemy to our mind. It's not, you know, because somebody really doesn't like you. It's because the enemy stirs things up. You understand that, don't you? That it's not that people deliberately want to stir things up. Although you may say, you know, yeah, we got one of those in our family. They're just always stirring stuff up. No, well, the reality is the enemy's behind that. And we ought to recognize that. Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not where our battle is. but it is with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in high places and so on. And so the answer to how we are strengthened in the midst of something like that is given in verse 20 and 21, which is where I want to highlight tonight. And he says again, but you beloved. And when he says beloved, notice this is a lowercase b, beloved, speaking about the church. That's us. Amen? Everybody say that's me. Okay, he's talking about the church here. And he says, building yourselves up. Can you ask God to build you up? How many know that it's important that you build yourself up? You need to build yourself up. So if we're going to build ourselves up, then we must know how to build ourselves up. And so he says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith or by your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you know it takes faith to pray in the Holy Spirit? You say, well, you know, I can just put everything out of my mind, not think about God, not think about anything, and just pray in tongues. No, you ought to be happy in faith and thinking about God and, you know, that sort of thing. But how many know that whatever you're doing in the day, you can pray in the Spirit? I found myself somewhere today, and maybe it's not a place where you would pray in tongues at, but I just found myself praying in tongues. I didn't make a spectacle. I just prayed in tongues. I kept it kind of on the low, you know, the low side, but I was praying in tongues. I mean, I just needed to do that and just felt a compelling. And so it's important that we pray in the Holy Spirit. Again, this word spirit here is pneuma. In the New Living Translation, it says, but you, dear friends, two things in this verse. One, must continue to build your lives on the foundation of your holy faith. So our persuasion, faith is generally the word that means persuasion, what you believe. Everybody has a belief system. It's important to check your belief system from now to now and then and to find out if what you're believing is in line with the Word of God. And once you establish that, the reality is that we need to keep ourselves built on the foundation of our faith. And then two, he says, and continue to pray as you are directed by the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit will direct you to pray? Amen. And, you know, you may start your prayer in the morning with things that you pray every day, and many of us do, and praise God for that. But we also ought to be sensitive to pray as we are directed by the Holy Spirit. This same verse in the Amplified says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up. And then the translators of the Amplified interjected the word founded. On your most holy faith. Make progress rise like an edifice higher and higher. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. And so we do this by faith. And he said we can make progress rise like an edifice. We can make progress and we can rise like an edifice higher and higher. So it sounds like just what he said there in the beginning, make progress, that progress can be made in our lives. We can be moving forward. We can be apprehending the things of God. Just keep praying in the Spirit and do it by faith. So God has provided this supernatural method for us to build ourselves up and keep ourselves built up in the same way as, if you could think with me for a moment, just go in your mind, not too far, but just go with me in your mind about a bodybuilder. If you've ever seen bodybuilding competitions, I flunked out in that one, if you think about that, how a bodybuilder would train. The example I want to give you is this. They would, first of all, they would eat the right food. Okay, they're all on special diets. How many know athletes have special diets? I remember in my high school days of running track, I was on a special diet and special programs and all of that. So they would be on a special diet, eat the right food. Second of all, they would get proper rest. How many know that one thing that the body of Christ may lack is not that we're not taking in the Word, but one thing is we don't rest. I don't mean we don't go to bed tonight at night and sleep. I mean rest in Jesus, at peace. Things disturb our rest, so we don't rest in Jesus. And then there's another area that a bodybuilder would do, and that's not just the physical exercise. They will do physical exercise, but also mental exercise. They will keep their mind sharp. A bodybuilder, as in any athlete, they cannot go into a competition believing in their mind, saying over and over, I'm going to fail at this. I'm not going to make it. Somebody's going to beat me. When I was running high school track, whether it was the mile or the 2 mile, there was this guy from a neighboring town, and man, that dude just stayed on my heels. I was like in the lead. If it was the mile, eight laps around the track, and so for 7.5 laps and sometimes 7.75, there was this one guy just trailing me. You couldn't hear him breathe, but you could hear the pitter-patter of his feet. In that last turn, that last quarter of a mile, here he comes. It's like, man, I run my best race. I'm tired. And it just, every time, it's just this one guy. Well, you couldn't have that in your mind, okay? At a quarter mile left to go, this guy's just going to pass me. You know, I just I did my best in that. Well, the point is that just like a bodybuilder or an athlete, we need to eat spiritual food, right? The proper diet of spiritual food. We also have to have spiritual rest, turning things over to the Lord, casting our cares over on Jesus. And we also need to have both proper exercise in our thinking. We call that renewing our mind. We exercise our mind. When thoughts come from the enemy, we exercise those things. I don't mean you go out and get an exorcist. I mean, get the Word of God and exercise that thing, that lie right out. And if you give that lie too much calisthenics, too much exercise, it won't want to stay around, especially when you're pouring the Word of God in it. When we attempt to do these things, we can do them our own way, by our own self-effort. Self-effort engages, and we will miss out on the things that God has for us to walk in. Some believers, praise God, not here, but some believers, and I don't speak that as a criticism, but only informational. Some believers are taught that when you pray in tongues, you edify or build up your spirit man. Can I just say to you that people that will say to you, you know, you're just spiritually sick and you need to get delivered. I want to tell you that is absolutely a deceptive lie from the enemy. We have been teaching you and even more and more about how that our spirit man, when you get born again, our human spirit is 100% filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about new birth indwelling. And you are fully filled with the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the Word of God, even if you in your soul, your mind, are not aware of it. And so your spirit does not need to be healed. Your spirit does not get sick. Your spirit does not get discouraged. That's your mind, your thinking, your soul, the soulish realm. And so some people are taught that. And even though we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, I believe that our spirit man is already built up, already full of the Holy Spirit, and we are already filled with all the knowledge of God, and we need to move on to that next experience, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. As we pray in the Spirit, as the Scriptures have already instructed us in Jude 1, verse 20, it is our soul that receives the first benefit of what we're doing. What happens when we pray in the Spirit and how our soul is benefited is that we are able to stay supernaturally connected. It's an awareness, okay? We're aware that we are supernaturally connected. We become spiritually alert. If you felt like that you're not as alert as you once were concerning spiritual things, I would encourage you to take some time out and pray in the Spirit. You know, sometimes you can spend hours in the Word and hours praying prayers in English, and they're all good. Maybe you have prayers that avail much and all kinds of Scripture confessions, and you just speak all kinds of stuff that you've had written down, and it's all good stuff. But if that just... You ever ate before, and you ate, and you ate, and you ate, and still was just not satisfied? Till you found that one thing that satisfied you. Maybe it was a piece of chocolate cake or something. I don't know, you know. But you found that one thing that satisfied you. That sometimes I feel that way. That, you know, you can do a lot of things that you know are the right things to do when it comes to your prayer and word time. But just take some time to pray in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, it's like there's a spiritual alertness. Like I woke up. And we also are mentally alert, more mentally healthy as we pray in tongues. As a matter of fact, if our soul is to be benefited from praying in the Spirit, right out of our spirit that is filled with the Holy Spirit, our soul would be the next thing in line to be benefited from praying in the Spirit. It's like we're just drawing things out. I mean, it's not hard work. Just pray in the Spirit. Just relax. Just rest. But know that stuff's being drawn out that's already been stored in you because God lives in you. Once again, let me say that the Scriptures tell us that the fullness of the Godhead lives in us or dwells in us bodily. The next thing that's benefited is our physical body. I believe that our physical body can become healthier praying in the Spirit, getting benefited here, and then our physical body begins to be strengthened and built up as our soul learns to walk and think in line with the Word. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." So the word edifies, as you know, is the word it means to build up. Do you think it's important to build yourself up? It's extremely important. Many of you have had countless testimonies of just taking some time to pray in the Spirit and things begin to change. You begin to feel a little more spring in your step. We say, "I really didn't do anything to help my body." Yes, but you were helping your soul. And as a man thinks in his heart or in his mind is the translation, so is he. So this means that your entire self, spirit, soul, and body are kept on track. Even though your spirit is completely filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just everything just flows a lot smoother when we take time to pray in the Spirit. Now, the word edify, or edifies as Paul said here, comes from a word meaning to be a house builder. That is, construct or figuratively to confirm. I thought it was interesting that Strong's used the word confirm. I thought that was very interesting. The house builder, I get that part because Jude just said building up yourselves. And the word construct, I got that because he said building up yourselves. But the word confirm, do you know there's some things that you're just unsettled about and you will pray in the Spirit for a season and it's like the Holy Spirit, it'll just flow out of you and there's the answer. It is confirmed. And so that's what he says when he's saying edify, that you can edify or things can be confirmed to you when you pray in tongues. Your body gets benefited. Your thinking faculties get benefited. And you stay healthier. Anybody interested in healthier? Anybody like that healthier thing? Well, we like healthier. And you know why it's important to be healthier? And if what I'm telling you tonight means that by praying in the Spirit, you draw stuff out of your spirit into your soul, into your thinking, so your mind gets healthier. How many of you pray in the morning and you thank God not only for healing and health, but you thank Him for soundness in your body and soundness in your mind? Don't forget about your mind. Soundness. One of the words when the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power and of love and of a sound mind. He is talking about a mind that is disciplined, a mind that's working right, that's thinking right. Well, the reason for that is so that God can use you in His kingdom and in doing His word for a long period of time. I'm going to tell you some things tonight that praying in the Spirit will help you stay healthier longer. Anybody interested in that? Want to be healthier longer? Not shorter. God didn't say in the last verse of Psalm 91 that with short life I will satisfy you. No, God didn't say. He said with long life I will satisfy you. All right? Praying in the Spirit also has an effect on building your entire immune system. Now, we told you last week, and I think it was Sunday, that God designed Adam with an immune system. You know, God knew that Adam was going to sin. But God wanted fellowship with a man, and God was willing to take a chance on Adam, knowing he had Jesus already prepared. Jesus was since the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the earth, was destined to be the supreme sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. But He created Adam with an immune system. So therefore, you have an immune system. And so if you want to boost your immune system, there's a lot of ways you can do that. How many know you can take vitamins? supplements, you can eat the right stuff. All of that has to do with your immune system. But can I tell you, God's supernatural method of boosting your immune system is praying in tongues. All right, let me give you a repeat story, because I don't want you to forget about this story. Haven't told it in a long time. I think I alluded to it recently. But years ago, brain specialists at Oral Roberts University Hospital. You remember this story? I want you to hear this again. They found out through research that when a person prays in tongues, his brain releases two chemicals that are directed at his immune system. Now, medical scientists found this out. Christian medical scientists. Now, you say, well, I don't pray in tongues very much. Well, I told you I'm going to try to challenge you and encourage you so that you will pray in tongues more. That they found these two chemicals that are directed at the immune system, giving it a 35 to 40% boost. The brain releases chemicals that are triggered by a part of our brain that has no other apparent activity and shows activity only when praying in tongues. So as always, our immune system is our first line of defense. It's important to boost our immune system. It's important to be strong. Someone said this. As a matter of fact, I'm not afraid to tell you. Joseph Prince talked about, you know, there's a lot of things out there we can do, but the best things we can do are the things that God created that man can't duplicate. For example, I don't want to mess with nobody's, you know, personal life or nothing, but he said, drink water. People try to put artificial stuff in and do, you know, make it colored and taste better, but the bottom line is water is good. Why? God created it. And there's a lot of other things we can drink, but God created water. And so that's just something that Joseph Prince shared I thought you might be interested in. So take care of your mind and take care of your body. Joseph Prince also told, and I remember telling this story a long time ago, how that in Singapore, when the SARS virus broke out in 2003, that not everyone who got the disease died. So there were some who lived through it. So it's important to know how they lived through it, why they lived through it. And it was only those who had immune systems that were weak that succumbed to the disease. And so when they begin to look at some things, most people that were trying to boost their immune system in that time, you know, did vitamins and supplements and herbs and so on. But I think I told you this story. There was a testimony. I read this actually in his Destined to Reign daily devotional of a 74-year-old man who decided to build up his immune system against heart problems. So, you know, when you think about heart problems, you think, okay, there's a lot of things I could cut out and I could go get the Roto-Rooter done. And that's, I'm sure, not fun. And, you know, all the things you can do to get your arteries unclogged. And then the doctor will want you to eat right. This man said that the story was that he had two arteries that were 70% blocked and five smaller vessels that were 80% blocked. And in a church service, and I've seen Joseph Prince on television do this, and you have too, where he will have different ones stand, and when it's time for healing, when they're going to minister healing, and he had asked for healing for those that had heart problems, he stood up, and here's what he did. He placed his hand over his heart, not to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but he stood there and prayed in tongues. You ever just put your hand over an area that's hurting and prayed in tongues? You know, I remember Keith Moore saying this about the healing school that he took over for Kenneth Hagin. And he said, sometimes as he would hand out prescriptions to different ones, just led by the Spirit and say, okay, here's a verse of Scripture, go say that, you know, 10 times a day. You know, that's not a no-brainer. I mean, you know, the doctor tells us to take medicine 3, 4, 5 times a day, and we do that. Why do we do that gladly? But sometimes scriptural prescriptions seem a little bit different. Well, he said, someone said, you mean I got to do it that many times? He said, do it 1,000 times a day if you have to. And someone said, 1,000 times a day? Look how much time that's going to take. And his response was, do you want healed or not? So what are you willing to do? All right, so this man put his hand over his heart, and he just stood there praying in tongues. And at that moment, he believed the Holy Spirit touched him. And he went for a medical checkup. And when he did, his surgeon found that all blockages of his blood vessels were gone. Didn't have surgery, didn't have the balloon procedure, didn't have stents put in. All the blockages were gone, and he was even scheduled for a heart-related operation. It was canceled because it was no longer necessary, because God had healed him, cleaned out his arteries when he just stood there praying in tongues. How long did he pray in tongues? I don't know. I don't know if he went home, prayed in tongues some more, got up the next night. He may have went home, prayed in tongues all night. I don't know. But he just prayed in the Spirit over that one area. You say, well, why pray in the Spirit? I know how to declare that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you there's some things that work. And, you know, all together, they're all good things. But this is an important subject in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, I want to tell you what Paul wasn't doing. He wasn't bragging. He was just letting us know that there is something to this praying in tongues stuff. And he had learned the secret of consistency. So I just want to ask you, no condemnation intended, do you pray in tongues daily? You don't have to, you know, respond or anything, but do you pray in tongues daily? It's important because we're praying things that we wouldn't normally pray in English and not that because we can't, but how many know we don't know all things? But how many know somebody lives in us that does know all things? Amen. In Romans 8, verse 26 and 27, and I realize these are scriptures that we've gone over in different sermons over the years, and I've just kind of compiled a lot of them together, just thinking about what the Lord was putting on my heart for tonight. Paul says here, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our weaknesses. Do we ever have any weaknesses? Well, we're Word of Faith people. We don't want to admit we have weaknesses. That's not a good faith confession. I don't care how negative it is. If I need to say something to the Lord, all right, Lord, this is a weak area of me. That's a weak area, Lord. I need some help. And the Lord say, pray in tongues for 30 minutes and then take a 30-minute break and pray in tongues for 30 minutes and take a 30-minute break. Well, Lord, I've got to invest that much time. Well, do you want that weakness taken care of or not? That's the point. All right? And so he says, for we do not know. Now, this is Paul talking. This is right from Scriptures, although we have an English translation. This is right from Scriptures. It says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I ought to know. I should know. I feel like I ought to know what to pray here. I mean, I've got all kinds of Scriptures, and I know all kinds of good faith confessions, but there's sometimes I just don't know. But, he says, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's some things I can't utter in English, but He knows what those words are, those things I need to pray. Now, why is that? Well, verse 27 tells us, for now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to, I would like to have rewritten that myself, since that, some of that's in italics, and put according to the perfect will of God. I mean, that's the only kind of prayer the Holy Spirit knows how to hook up with. Well, why is that important? Well, we'll share that in just a moment. So, let me just say some things about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to finish the rest of this message by saying some things about the Holy Spirit, not just praying in tongues. But it's not the job of the Holy Spirit to do the praying for you. I remember a message one time, I said some very strong things about what the Holy Spirit will and will not do. I'd like to repeat some of those things tonight, and just for you to hear, and maybe they're worded differently, maybe they're not exactly as I once shared, but He will not do the praying for you. It is His job to hook up with you when you're praying. So what you're praying, He wants to get in agreement with. Well, that's really significant because remember the Scripture said that He helps our weaknesses. So He is our helper. A Scripture that, you'll notice there on your page, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So He is the Helper. So He is here to help you. And again, the Holy Spirit is not here to do it for us. He's here to help you. He hooks up with you. Did you know you had an assistant? The Holy Spirit is here to assist you. All right? So he is waiting for you to pray, and he'll hook up with that. But let me just say this here, that he has not come to live in you and to point out all your faults. He has come to direct your path, including to help you find your way if you get distracted. How many know if you get off course, he'll help you get back on? How many know if you get off course, the Holy Spirit's job is not to smack you upside the head and beat you a little bit till you're black and blue and say, all right, did you learn your lesson now? No, that's not the job of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've heard it preached that way. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, that's not the job of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. He's there to help you in every way. He is not inside you to hassle you when you make wrong choices. Do you ever make wrong choices? You ever made any bad choice and you felt, you know, like, man, that was really bad. I mean, that was a really dumb thing to do. Well, he's in you to teach you in all things, and the scripture said to bring all things to your remembrance, the things that you need to remember. How many of those are probably some things we don't need to remember? We were studying in Bible college Monday night about how that just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you forget. And it's not wrong to forget. Just don't use that as another dart to go out and seek vengeance, but just forgive. All right? God's Word tells us that the Holy Spirit is inside of you to help you in any area of weakness, such as anything you can't fix on your own or anything you can't do on your own. Do you ever find anything you can't get fixed? I want to tell you, those that work with your hands, those that work with math problems, those that have to be responsible with people, you need help sometimes. When you can't get it figured out, the Holy Spirit will help you. Did you know you can ask him how to do your job? If you have a job, it doesn't matter if you work for the federal government, the local state government, if you work for a local contractor or who you work for, sometimes you just get those days where I don't know how to do my job. You know, you can stop just a moment and say, Holy Spirit, how do I get this done? This just seems more difficult than normal. How do I get this done? And the Holy Spirit will show you how. We're talking about relying on the Holy Spirit who's in you. We're talking about trusting the one who you have on the inside of you. He helps you in areas where you are without the know-how, and he is there to give you the how-to. That's called a weakness when we don't know how to do something. And the Holy Spirit helps us. This word helps. I will never forget the first time that this was discovered, at least for me, and it's just still as precious today. The word helps means to take hold together against. To take hold together against. And together is a very important part of this phrase, because together means our participation is required. I remember a message I preached one time, and that's not in my notes, and I didn't intend to say it, but the Holy Spirit just brought it to my attention. I remember in this message one time I shared how that the Holy Spirit is there for you to participate, that if you come up with the idea, and I think this is how this went, if you come up with the idea, if the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for me, then why don't I just not pray anything and let him do all the praying? I mean, after all, I wouldn't mess it up, and he could just pray all the perfect will of God and everything would be wonderful and I'd have no problems. The Holy Spirit will not pray unless you move your mouth and pray. You say, but what if I don't pray the wrong, right prayer? Pray in tongues. You can't miss. You can't miss. I mean, you can't mess up. Boy, sometimes, Pastor, I get my word jumbled. Have you ever listened to my CDs? Sometimes I get my tongue tangled. Sometimes I say things backwards. You listen to me preach very long? But man, when I pray in tongues, it's like nothing gets messed up. And he hooks up with that. Now, there's some important things I want to say to you about when you're praying in tongues. So he's not going to do it for you. You're going to have to participate. He'll help you. He'll hook up with you. Against any problem, any situation, whatever you're praying about, he'll help you with it. But you got to pray. Do you know you can come to the Holy Spirit? You can come to the Lord and say, all right, now, Father, I'm going to pray in tongues. And here's the situation. I am believing you for this situation that hasn't changed yet. I'm believing for that to change. So, God, I'm just telling you that. And then you start praying in tongues. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit hooks up together with you against anything that's been hindering that. and it'll even guide you how to pray as you're praying. And you say, well, I don't have to even use my mind. Well, you don't use your mind to pray in tongues, but you know what I use my mind for? To hook up my faith and believe God while I'm praying in tongues. It's just not like taking a vacation. I mean, I'm actually using my faith while I'm praying in tongues. All right, so again, if you sit back and don't take hold of the problem, the Holy Spirit has nothing to take hold of with you. And He wants to take hold, and He wants to help, so it's important. If you don't call in things, I remember a message I preached a couple of months ago on call things in. Just call it in. And call it in by faith. Declare the Word of God. Call it in every day. Well, here's something really important. When you're praying in tongues, you can call it in. And when you're calling it in, the Holy Spirit is calling. He's taking hold of it and calling it in with you. Again, if you don't pray, He has nothing to pray for. If you keep quiet, even though He wants to pray through you, He's going to keep quiet as well. I don't want Him to be quiet. Well, to keep Him from being quiet, I got to do some talking, some praying. Now, the bottom line is, when you release your prayer in tongues, you're actually allowing Him to pray with you and pray for you in agreement with you. And when that happens, He will take hold together with you against whatever problem or situation. Pray the perfect prayer. And because the Bible said that He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, I've compiled a list of things, just seven things. There probably is a lot more than that. But it's clear to me that praying in tongues is extremely important to our well-being. So I want to experience a higher quality of life. I don't mean just physically, but mentally. And I want to see things work in my life in the fullest possible way that God intended for them to work. And so I have determined that that's really important that we pray in tongues. It's good for my well-being. It's good for my future. It's good for my quality of life. And so here's seven things at least. And I thought, you know, Lord, as I'm doing this, there could be a lot more. But I think these are things we need to know about the Holy Spirit. One is, He is our helper. So you are never without a helper. Okay, you understand that? Even when you feel alone, don't let the enemy beat you with that, because you have the fullness of the Godhead in you, so you couldn't possibly be alone even when the devil tells you you're alone. When the devil tells you are alone, let me tell you something. According to John 8, verse 44, he's nothing but a big fat liar. He's a liar. You're not alone. Don't believe that. You have the fullness of the Godhead living on the inside of you. All right, number two, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses, which means at all times when we need supernatural assistance. Have you ever felt like you had one of those moments where, you know, I hate to use this expression, pull my hair out. That just seems like such an appropriate thing to say, but you ever had one of those times and you needed right then and there supernatural assistance? You know what you could have done about that? You could have begun to pray in tongues. Release your faith and pray in tongues. Number three, the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know the right words to pray as we should. You ever come to God and said, God, I really need to express it, but I don't know what to say. Can I give you a clue? Pray in tongues. I mean, that just seems to solve a whole lot of things. Number four, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us as we pray. The as we pray part is extremely important to the Holy Spirit making intercession for you. Number five, the Holy Spirit always knows the mind of God. Let me tell you something. We know the mind of God in that we have the mind of Christ. We confess that. Over here we have the mind of Christ. Over here sometimes like, I'm just not sure. And you can look and you can read and say, okay, there's the mind of Christ. But it just seems like there's something different that's the mind of Christ right now. Okay, God, what am I looking for? But do you know that you can begin to pray in tongues and you not only, the mind of Christ is released, but I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit always prays because in a way that He knows the mind of God. He knows what is good for us. He knows the way to get the perfect answer to manifest, and so He always knows the mind of God. Number six, the Holy Spirit always prays the will of God. Is the will of God important? I'll tell you, it's so important that Jesus one time said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus, the Son of the living God, even deemed the Father's will higher than his own. You ever knew the perfect will of God for your life and you said, I know the perfect will of God. But let me tell you something. What you know has always got to be submitted to what the Father knows, because the Father always knows best. Amen? And so he always prays the will of God. And number seven, the Holy Spirit always prays perfect prayers. I would like to preach perfect sermons every time, but I know that the Holy Spirit knows how to get that done. He knows how to pray perfect prayers. So if I'm going to get somebody to hook up with me, how many know it ought to be the Holy Spirit? Amen. So God has told us in scriptures tonight how to build ourselves up, our entire being, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude told us tonight that we're to keep ourselves walking in the love of God. And let me just ask you this, at this point as we're getting ready to close, why is it important to keep walking in the love of God? How many know we can get off when it comes to walking in the love of God? And I never realized this till today, but here's why. Do you remember a scripture in Galatians 5 verse 6 that in the King James it says, faith which worketh by love? Or a lot of people have given that a much simpler rendition of saying faith works by love. Well, let me read to you what the New Century Version says. I love this way it translates this. Galatians 5:6 says, the important thing is faith, the kind of faith that works through love. So faith is important. So again, when you're praying in tongues, is faith important? Well, I believe it is, because it's important to release your faith even while you are praying in tongues. We know this, and I want you to hear this, that faith works at its maximum efficiency when we keep ourselves built up in love. So can we not only keep ourselves built up praying in the Holy Spirit, but also built up in love? Well, notice this as we finish tonight. Jude 1 verse 21 from our text passage said, keep yourselves in the love of God. And he just got done saying, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves, in some translations say, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, we already have eternal life, right? We've already entered into eternal life. And so we keep looking for mercy. In other words, we keep receiving the mercy of God, the finished work of Jesus, every day. How many know this is also true? We ought to keep giving mercy to others. Amen. All right, let's finish with Jude 1, verse 20 and 21 from the Amplified Bible. I absolutely had to look this up today and couldn't find a translation I liked any better than this. And this is what I really felt like using tonight. As a matter of fact, I felt God say to me today, and I only have it on my computer other than pulling a Bible off the shelf, and I felt God direct me to this. And he said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress. Church, making progress is important. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 21 from the Amplified, guard and keep yourselves. So here again, some things that we're directed to do. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Oh God, keep me walking in love. And God says, oh child of mine, keep yourself walking in love. Oh no, I want God to do it, and God wants you to do it. He said, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto eternal life. Now we know that we've already entered into eternal life, that it's working in us right now. So is it important to spend quality time praying in tongues? Well, our answer today would either be yes or absolutely. And so let me just say this in a closing phrase. It's okay to pray in tongues on purpose. It's okay to pray. I'm going to read 1 hour in the Bible today. I'm going to do that on purpose. Well, it's okay to pray in tongues on purpose. Well, you know, I've got to be in a church service, and the music's got to really, really be ripping. And I got to really have them Holy Ghost goosebumps a-flowing and my adrenaline pumping and my mind working right, no discouragement. And then I can pray in tongues. No, do you ever get up in the morning and on purpose just prayed in tongues? It's okay to pray in tongues. Matter of fact, it's okay if you're not at church. It's okay if you're wherever you work. It's okay if you're out in the hay fields or the pasture. It's okay if you're out in the barn or if you're sitting in the living room or just sitting on the side of the bed. It's okay to pray in tongues in the other room, the bathroom. It's okay. Pray in tongues on purpose. Do it on purpose. All right, Lord, I'm going to purposely do this today. And you begin to pray in tongues. You know what? I will say this, that praying in tongues can be habit forming. Did you hear what I said? Praying in tongues can be habit forming. Habit forming. Man, I like that. Praying in tongues. Reading the Word can be addictive. That's a good addiction, right? Amen. And so praying in tongues can be habit forming. Do we like to come to church and worship? We love the worship. We love the music. We love to just lift our hands and sing to the Lord. And that can be just so, it's just like getting your next fix, you know? Except we don't go to the street to get a fix. We just come to Jesus and get a fix. Amen? And it's like it's just like everything begins to flow. Well, folks, in the same way, praying in tongues on purpose can be a great high in your life. How many know you can get on a high and stay there? Well, I'm trying to tell you how to boost your immune system, how to have a healthier mind, how to have a healthier body, and how to keep moving forward in God. And the Scriptures have clearly shown us tonight that praying in tongues is a good way to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord.